I suppose we have the luxury of not paying attention sometimes to a story like the BP crisis.
You mean we on the takeaway?
We in the media, you sort of move from story to story. The headlines sort of ostensibly motivate
things.
Right,
it should be breaking.
Right, I suppose. But you don't have that luxury if you're a fisherman. You have to wake up every morning and figure out what the conditions are.
Or a fish.
Or you have a tourist business. You know, yeah. you have to focus on what's going on. The unfinished business, which is kind of our theme this morning, it's really setting the agenda in Washington and down in the Gulf of Mexico. The unfinished business for BP is about $3.5 billion right now.
Right.
That's the latest cost of cash on hand, out of pocket to deal with the oil gusher. And listen to Robert Gibbs yesterday. It seems to me he made a little bit of a White House spokesperson history talking on Meet the Press.
When all of this is online, the ceiling cap, the Helix, the Q4000, which is burning oil even as we speak, so some oil is being contained, we'll have a containment procedure that will be between 60 and 80,000 barrels of oil a day.
I think he's the first White House spokesman to utter the words Q4000.
I'm pretty sure you're right on that.
Everyone's learned a lot about the sophisticated technology or imprecise technology in trying to cap this oil at the bottom of the Gulf. Joining us once again is Henry Fountain, science reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Henry, my first question has to be, what's a Q4000?
Good question. The Q4000 is a specialized type of drill rig that's been brought on, and it right now it's just functioning to collect about 8,000 barrels of oil a day. It can't really collect it, so it burns it. It burns the oil and gas in a special kind of burner that doesn't pollute too much.
And that's on the surface, the Q4000, right?
Right.
Which
that's
takes
on the surface.
It takes the water and oil sludge, somehow separates the water out, and burns the rest of it.
Right. There's actually, at this point, there's not much water in it, so it's mostly oil and gas that comes up.
And let's talk about the cap on the bottom. Now, the Obama administration being very optimistic about this new cap being a much more complete seal of what's coming out of that damaged pipe down there. But how is this supposed to work?
Well, in fact, it's almost like another, I dread to say it, but it's almost like another blowout preventer, which is, the device that failed in the blowout. It's a cap, but it has three sort of rams on it that can actually shut down the well, close down the well, or at least restrict the flow. So it should form a tight seal.
And, they're really developing technology as this crisis unfolds. I mean, part of the problem of the blowout preventer to begin with was that it couldn't handle the pressure. Part of the difficulty of trying to cap it is that the pressure really does create problems. So would it be fair to say that this is a blowout preventer that instead of sealing actually just pumps the pressure up to the surface?
Well, it will. It's not really to pump it, but it'll allow them to control it, and it'll allow them to, to make sure nothing, escapes essentially. So it's more like a controller rather than a preventer.
And we're going to talk about the cleanup effort in just a moment. But is there a threshold here? Is there a clear benchmark whereby BP is going to be judged? Does an absolute seal mean no oil coming out at all? Or are they going to, after all this mess, be tolerating 1,000 barrels a day, 500 barrels a day? Is it going to just sort of be a leaky mess down there forever?
Well, it will certainly not be forever once they get the relief wells finished and the well killed. But in terms of this cap, I think they're thinking it will eventually, contain all the oil. It won't do it immediately. The cap should be in place in a couple of days, but then they still have to bring in a couple of more ships to handle the expected flow through the cap. So probably in a week or two, they should be collecting it all.
In the sort of good news department, is this likely to be a template for other problems and thinking about prevention of other problems in the future in deep water drilling, or is this a one-off? Are BP's problems sort of unique to this particular event?
In some ways, they're unique, but, I think obviously there's going to have to be a rethinking of the whole sort of technology end of it. It may not happen immediately with only a six-month moratorium, if that, but... the blowout preventer was first invented in 1920, and obviously it's gotten more complex, but I think the thinking is there may be some other technologies out there to control wells in the future, but they haven't been developed yet.
A post-prevention blowout device, I guess, would be maybe the name.
Or non-preventive.
Right, right.
Blowout device.
A questionably preventive blowout device.
Right.
Well, Henry, I I say I hate to draw you into this, but in fact, you know, just like your colleagues do, I love to drag you into sort of analytical speculation. Are you as optimistic as the Obama administration seems to be? Gibbs talking about this, Axelrod talking about this over the weekend, that it's going to be capped within a few days?
This containment cap, yeah, I'm pretty optimistic, though. You know, I got burned pretty bad on the top kill procedure about a month and a half ago.
Really?
I thought that was going to work too, and that failed very miserably. So, but this seems to be going well. You know, you can see you can watch their video feeds from their submersibles down there, and they've made pretty good progress. They've learned to dampen expectations a little bit. At least the BP has. I don't know about the administration, but you know, BP is saying they're still on target for a couple of days from now, whereas it looks like it's actually maybe moving a little faster than that.
And this optimism is muted by the fact that once the oil stops gushing, I mean, it's really going to pull this huge distraction away from the real issue, and that is looking at the surface and seeing just how much devastation is out there. What's the stage of the cleanup right now?
Well, it's really hit and miss, hit or miss. As you know, Admiral Allen, the Coast Guard Admiral, said the other day, it's not just one big mammoth oil leak. You know, it's thousands of little tiny oil leaks, essentially, because the oil has sort of been dispersed so you know, all over the place. So it's a hard thing to fight. I mean, they have several thousand skimmers, but skimmers can only do so much. They're, you know, I think in the Exxon Valdez spill, skimmers only collected something like 3% of the oil. So
here's a little detail I'm happy to offer to you. Celeste, with her operatic training, understands German better than I do. This new spokesperson they have from the Coast Guard, his last name is Zukunft, which apparently means future in German. Any significance to that?
Well, I hope for all of us it means an oilless future.
But not likely.
Yeah, at this point, not likely.
Are you going to see Michelle Obama down there? The administration, of course, trying to signal that they're on top of this whole thing. Any visible signs of the administration this morning?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
All right. Henry Fountain, science reporter for The New York Times, watching both the undersea developments in the BP disaster and the surface developments. Henry, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I thought Henry was very candid about describing how burned he got by the top kill reporting.
Well, I'm sure
he wasn't
still
the only
feeling
one.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.